historian and our archivist, Dr. Shirley Sands, sitting here with us.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Across the glass wall, keeping us alive and well on the satellite, of course, our engineering group of the McLaughlin boys. How are y'all doing?
We're on a satellite now?
Yeah, we're on a satellite. Oh, okay. Absolutely, huh? Absolutely.
I thought we were still on the can and the string.
People are listening to us worldwide right now.
That's right, they are. We're doing great. We're doing great over here.
And Michelle, you know, we fail often to tell people about our Facebook page up there.
Facebook.com/StirringItUpRadio. That's our address.
Stirring.
No G.
You know, every month we get involved in our mystery basket competition here on the Big Show, because I think our listeners in general tend to think that to do what we do, we all have to be experts. Well, of course I have to be an expert at what I do, but you represent the people who just every day go out to the store, buy goods, and come on in and make things with it, or are a little afraid to spend money on things they don't know a lot about. So this show, our mystery basket show, is about choosing an ingredient that our listener may want to know more about and encourage them to cook, huh?
But I think what's really fun is having an ingredient that we then try to explore in all the different ways it can be used. Because we all are so set in our ways when it comes to using an ingredient.
Ingredients that you take through life with you.
Sure.
And then when you start experimenting and cooking, all of a sudden all these new opportunities come to you. And it's like, oh my God, I don't really know what to do with.
Well, not to mention the fact that when our recipes get put on the website, people know that they really work. They don't have to worry about, is it going to be successful? And sometimes with, you know, they may be a little more daunted of trying to do a recipe that you share with them, because you are a chef. So we want to give people an opportunity to know that they can do all the recipes that are on the website.
And that's the purpose of our Mystery Basket show each month, is to choose one ingredient. And how we choose the ingredient is very simple. I just put the ingredient on each of their desks. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you chose?
Of course I remember. I remember very well. The mystery ingredient is yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Yogurt.
Yogurt. That was the mystery ingredient you found on your desk, right? I gave everyone yogurt. And, of course, there was a reason for it. It's Dairy Month, right?
That's right.
Anyway, it's Dairy Month, and there seems to be that one dairy product that, even though it is pushed so much by the dairy industry and so much advertisement done on it, it's available in all of the stores. It seems that yogurt gets overlooked a lot, as opposed to ice creams or milk products or things like that. And it is, without a doubt, one of the most versatile ingredients in the world. No doubt about it. Certainly one with a lot of historic note to it as well. Goes back a long, long, long way in history. The word yogurt comes from the Turkish word meaning to curdle or to thicken, which is exactly what yogurt is. It's probably one of the earliest yogurts what we're going to call an acid set or farmer style cheese was made by accident. We think probably in Mesopotamia, somewhere around 5,000 years before Christ, when milk producing animals were first domesticated. We've all heard that great story of milk being put in bags that were made from the stomach of milk-producing animals, probably camels, and kind of thrown over the back saddle of the camels as the herdsmen went across the desert, and the milk inside of those bags churning around with the rennet, with that with the digestive juices and bacteria that's inside of the stomach lining of milk, again, milk producing animals, because it's actually what the rennet is, what curdles the milk for when suckling babies, whether all mammals producing milk, when the suckling babies take the milk in, it's the rennet in their stomach that solidifies it and makes it good solid food for them to eat. We're assuming that it was the rennet left in those bags that are at least in the protein itself that probably allowed that milk to coagulate and turn into some acidic ingredient that we know of today as yogurt. It's not only was a new and interesting food, but the acidity helped to keep it edible for a longer period of time than had the milk just sat out in a bowl or been kept out at room temperature. It became very, very popular in Middle Eastern cuisine for thousands of years, and then became a staple in Eastern European diet. And now, of course, yogurt is seen as a mainstay on most tables around the world. It's a snack. It's a main ingredient for so many different dishes. It's an ingredient in many, many recipes, including here. It's a condiment that's spread over breads and it's crackers. It's gained tremendous popularity under a lot of brand names here in America over the last 40 to 50 years, and especially since that trend that we started to see organic and sustainable and nutrient-dense type foods, we started to see yogurts really take a place on the forefront of most of the American tables. And the consistency of yogurt, too, y'all, you want to remember, can vary. It can be very thin. It can be runny. It can be thick. It can be firm. It can be made with cow's milk, goat's milk, sheep's milk. Sheep's milk I absolutely love. I think it's, for those who hadn't eaten or drank sheep's milk, I think it's the absolute best. It's sweet. It's one that makes great yogurt. It can be made with nut milk, soy milk, rice milk. It can numerous other creamy substances you can actually make yogurt out of. In some countries, the milk of buffalo, horses, yak, as I mentioned, even camels are used. True yogurt is made from animal milk, and put very, very simply, the process of turning milk into yogurt is simple. It's called fermentation. That's all it is. Certain types of bacteria act on the lactose, the milk sugar that is in the milk, and produces, of course, that lactic acid. And the lactic acid lowers the pH in the milk and causes the milk protein to coagulate and make this nice firm mass that we call acidified milk or yogurt, as we are talking about today. And of course, in that state, it lasts longer than untreated milk. It can be preserved for longer periods of time. And the bacteria that does all of this is called beneficial bacteria and supports digestion and is nourishing, as opposed to that pathogenic or that harmful bacteria that causes disease. So it's safe, it's healthy, it's wonderful. And of course, I'm one of the lucky guys who got to go to one of those wonderful countries that produce some of the best yogurts in the world, and that's Bulgaria, where our own yogurt makers come from, where our own cheese makers, Demcho and Pepe Demov, came and moved from Bulgaria, from Sofia, Bulgaria, to Louisiana, and makes our yogurt right here. And I actually went into so many of those wonderful places, including the Ria Monastery and the mountains, the Ria Mountains of Bulgaria, to see the monks making yogurt the way they made it over 1,100 years. They made yogurt in this one place, in this thick, rich yogurt that they called Trakhi, after the Etruscan Empire, we think, was where our yogurt comes from today, that type of yogurt that we make. Anyway, so y'all, it's a wonderful, wonderful product, and I know that we've spent a lot of time talking over the week about how we're going to use this live cultures, these probiotics that stay in the yogurt and can be used to start yogurts over and over again. What are we going to do with this fantastic product? So y'all, we're going to talk a little bit more about it, but I want to jump right into your conversation right now. When you found the yogurt sitting on your desk, what was the first thing that came to mind? Were you excited? Did you back away and say, "Oh my God, now I got to think about a yogurt dish"? Did you say, "Oh, I have hundreds of recipes with yogurt"? What, Michelle, your immediate response to the yogurt?
Well, actually, I did like the idea of doing yogurt, because so often with ingredients, as Shirley was saying, we get into a mindset of one thing we do with it. And so often we just grab the yogurt off the shelf, the little cup servings, and we eat it, and I personally don't do a whole lot with it. But about 10 years ago, when I was in Greece, I lived on yogurt that was mixed with cucumber and something, and I just loved it. I fell in love with that, and so this gave me an opportunity to track down that recipe so that I could do it today. So I wasn't opposed to the yogurt. I embraced it.
You embraced the yogurt.
I embraced the yogurt as soon as I saw it.
And then you started to think about recipes, and you immediately went to, now there's a lot.
Then I Googled yogurt recipes. I did. And there was an interesting recipe that I didn't get to do, but it was a yogurt marinade for chicken, which sounded really good.
No, absolutely.
Didn't get a chance to do it for the show today, but I have the recipe, should you be interested.
Well, Charlie, what about you? I mean, were you a yogurt lover before, or did you eat a lot of yogurt?
As an adult, yogurt became part of my food. Growing up, yogurt really wasn't made very much. We had fresh cream and all of that growing up, but not yogurt particularly. But as an adult, and I've spent a fair amount of time in the Middle East off and on over number of years, and so got to know yogurt from a Middle Eastern perspective. But when yogurt became an ingredient on my desk, I knew of a recipe that I've had for 35 years or so that was going to be the recipe for today. So,
well, that's good. So y'all both embrace the project.
Absolutely.
Huh? Well, y'all,
are you disappointed?
No, I think exactly what I expected. And and of course, coming from St. James Parish and growing up on Cabanossi Plantation, we got used to yogurt very early in life, because Daddy would always tell us when my brother would say, "This milk tastes spoiled." Dad said, "That's yogurt. Go ahead and eat that. Drink that. Drink that yogurt. What are you talking about? We're not throwing that yogurt away."
In your house, you didn't. There were so many of you didn't have a chance to get bad.
We never had a chance. So our yogurt, we drank yogurt back on Cabanossi back in the 1940s and 50s. Anyway, y'all, it's going to be a great show today. We're talking about the mystery of yogurt. We're talking about cooking with it. We're going to talk a little bit more about the history, obviously. And when we come back, we're going to get right into kind of going through our recipes. When we come back, we're talking yogurt.
Everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, and coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we're going to hear Jimbo Mathus and the Tri-State Coalition at the Levitt Shell in Memphis, Tennessee. Then we'll go to the Bill Street Music Fest in downtown Memphis and hear Johnny Winter. That, plus our feature host, the late Jerry Wexler, continues his series On the Record. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Daddy Cecil here. For 2 hours of word sound power, Rasta Reggae Radio, it's Jamon. Jamon, Sunday nights 9 to 11 p.m. Rebroadcast Saturday mornings 1 to 3 a.m. here on KRVS.
There's a car, truck, or boat taking up space at your house, and you're finally ready to do something about it, KRVS just might be the answer. Your vehicle could be used to support public radio in our community through KRVS's car donation program. One phone call is all it takes. Whether it's running or not, we'll come and get the vehicle, send you a tax receipt when it sells, and you just supported KRVS. Call us now at 877- KRVS 887 or visit our website at krvs.org to learn more. And thanks.
Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Are you ready to boogie down, to shake it up and dance around? Miss Sally Swiss Cheese is here to take us for a spin, and Gertie Yogurt's guitar will rock on again. I'm Max Milk, and we're the Disco Dairy.
A tall glass of milk or a slice of cheese, or how about more yogurt, please? Calcium for strong muscles and bones, several servings, you're in the right zone. The happier your heart will be.
stuff. Yeah, y'all sick.
I love that song.
Michelle and Shirley's dancing. Disco Dairy song. Man, I tell you,
Mary Martin right now.
Mary Martin's going to go crazy when she hears that song. She's going to love it. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. And today, of course, is our mystery basket show for the month. And that's the day that I choose a secret ingredient and give it to the crew here. And they have to come up with their recipes. And, of course, it's a great learning experience for all of us because it's normally some unique thing. I think last time we did root vegetables or something like that.
We did
carrots, and it ended up being a great show. And, by the way, we got some great email on that, on the carrots.
Did anybody mention me?
Nobody mentioned you, but they mentioned my carrot souffle. Anyway, y'all, let's talk a little bit as we get into our primer work here. There's different kinds of fermented dairy products besides yogurt. I mean, we're talking about yogurts, and of course, these live cultures that we talk about in making yogurt here is just really a wonderful thing to see. But there's let's talk about the kefir, which is the thickened milk made from little clumps of yeast, bacteria, and milk proteins that ferment the milk. There's about 30 different bacteria strains present in kefir grains, and it has a slightly sour flavor. Sometimes this faint, which I really like, this faint effervescence to it. Kumis is a similar product made from mare's milk, which is found in Europe quite often and in many countries around the world.
I can't say that I've had that opportunity to sample that, but I'd be willing.
I have.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have.
Absolutely. Well, I can't tell. I mean, I can't tell the difference. I've had camel's milk. I've had yak milk cheese. I've had buffalo. Well, of course, buffalo. Just about everybody's had buffalo mozzarella already. But I've had a bunch of it. I can't tell the difference. Mare's milk I've had.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to sample that. I've had buttermilk.
Horse meat in France.
Oh,
absolutely.
I know.
Well, I mean, you know, like I say, it's cultural foods, right?
Most exotic thing. What is it that you've eaten?
Monkey brains.
Well, monkey brains probably, but I would say other than the monkey brains, I would probably say the most exotic thing was in the midnight markets of China. The midnight markets, this is the amphibian markets. Mm-hmm. That's when the men go out to buy the seven snake soup and all of the snakes for the soup and all of this. Mm-hmm. And if you want the snakes clean, they'll do it for you. So they'll cut the heads off. They'll stretch the snake once the head is cut off, and they'll drain the blood out of the snake into these 1 ounce jigger glasses. And it's kind of like the prize for buying your snake is to get the snake blood, which is considered not only medicinal, but obviously it's a religious deal as well. So you drink one shot down of the snake's blood. And if you buy a seven snake for the most famous soup of all, the seven snake soup, then you have seven glasses of snake blood, which is only about a half ounce.
Who doesn't want that, right?
Like so anyway, Michelle, let's jump on. I've done mine. What are you doing? What's your next one?
Well, like I mentioned, buttermilk.
You like now, buttermilk?
Yeah. You know, when I was a child, not that long ago, when I lived in Oklahoma, we actually had a cow.
You had a cow.
We had a cow. Remember that?
I remember the scene of you in your little shoes milking the cow. I remember that.
I milked the cow.
Beautiful baby shot, too. I love it.
And Mom used to make fresh butter from the milk. Buttermilk is just that name given to the way that's left over when butter is made. But more commonly today, buttermilk is the milk drink that's made by adding bacteria to low-fat milk. Now, it's kind of thick. It's kind of tangy. I think in some cases it's an acquired taste, but I like it actually.
Well, you know, we make
as an adult now.
We make butter here in our cheese plant. So the butter obviously comes from churning heavy whipping cream that has been fermented at room temperature here because we make old world butter. We make a cultured butter, but so we take our heavy whipping cream, allow it to sit at room temperature overnight, which allows it to begin to sour or ferment. And the fermentation gives the butter a European note or flavor, as we call it, and the milk that comes from the leftover, the whey that comes from the leftover churning of the butter is probably the best buttermilk you'll ever taste because it's not quite as acidic as the buttermilk you get in the store, and it's certainly not as thick as the cultured buttermilk that you get in the store. So what you have is almost like a skim milk that has a taste between sweet and sour, which is very interesting. interesting flavor and delicious. Mm-hmm. And so whenever they're making butter here, I'm always anxious to come over the next day because they make it on Saturday, and I always meet with the dairy here on Sunday morning. And Pepe will always have a big 10-ounce glass of ice-cold buttermilk from the churning of the butter yesterday, which is absolutely exquisite. Mm-hmm. Shirley, right. Another cultural milk. What are we?
Well, one of the things I really enjoy cooking with is sour cream, you know. And sour cream is a cream or a high-fat milk that's been cultured and thickened, slightly sour, usually very thick, which makes it wonderful for doing all kinds of baking goods. Originally made by letting fresh cream thicken naturally as a result, again, like we've been talking about, fermentation, from the bacteria that's present in the cream. But of course, now we do a lot of things like pasteurizing. So when the cream is pasteurized and it doesn't have any of its natural bacteria present, we have to go back and add bacteria to ferment. But the sour cream is something fabulous to cook with. I really enjoy sour cream.
I like sour cream too.
I love sour cream.
Of course. Of course, most people will have sour cream in one of two different ways. Either
potatoes.
Yeah.
I love it on my potato, my baked potato.
That's what I'm saying. Baked potatoes, or in cheesecakes. I mean, now of course, those of us who love salmon, we like our sour cream with salmon and capers and things like that. But what about creme fraiche? I love creme fraiche. It's that European-style sour cream, slightly sweeter than what we're used to in American sour cream. It's also made by letting raw cream thicken naturally, which is what I was talking about with the butter that we make, or by adding a little bit buttermilk cultures to the cream. In fact, that's how our Creole cream cheese is made, by taking high acid buttermilk left over from the churning of butter and adding it to skim milk. So you take that buttermilk and add it to the skim milk, and that acid set cheese immediately turns into this coagulated Creole cream cheese that's so famous here. Creme fraiche can also be heated without curdling, and unlike sour cream, because sour cream can curdle when you heat it. And in recipes, you can often substitute one cultured milk product for another and get similar results. In fact, sometimes it's even hard to tell between the thin, tart yogurts and the thick, sour kefirs or creamy buttermilk. There's a lot of similarities between all of those different flavors.
And you know, I thought this was interesting, that there's evidence that yogurt may have been used as a cleaning product and a beauty lotion. Thank you very much.
Lotion, huh?
Yes, as early as 2000 BC. It seems that the acidity of the yogurt helps clean away dirt, clean away rust, and obviously it cleans your pores too. It cleans away dead skin and nourishes healthy skin cells. So.
And it's still used today in beauty products a lot.
You think you could put yogurt directly on your skin? I might try that.
No, I remember. Tzatziki. That's what tzatziki.
Inside and out.
That's where tzatziki originated from, leftover hair products or something.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I remember my sister Ruth getting into a lot of trouble when she confiscated a couple gallons of milk to wash her hair in because there was a fad that went on, I guess, back in is that still something that women do, wash their hair in milk or not? Huh?
I've heard that, or taking milk baths. Yeah. I've never done that, but...
Well, I mean, you'd have to go to the store and buy, like, how many gallons of milk to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm small.
I'm talking about the size of your jacuzzi. I'm not talking about how small you are. I mean, how many gallons of milk...
Well, you know, I've been eyeing that milk vat in the back.
Yeah. Well, one of the great things, y'all, as we're talking about yogurt is to, and I started to tell you a little bit about it, and I'll kind of expand upon it right now, and that is my trip to discover these cultured food products in Bulgaria, because Demcho and Pepe, who we love so much here, our cheesemakers, came here because their son actually graduated from LSU with his PhD in forestry, and because he was in science and agreed to stay in America. His mom and dad were lucky to get this American lottery of I guess being able
immigration.
To get immigration lottery to come in and they have become citizens. And they are without a doubt two people, husband and wife team, who brought with them some of the greatest knowledge that we could have ever hoped for in Middle Eastern sour fermented cream products, but also some of the best cheesemakers, because living in Bulgaria during the communist rule, he was a cheesemaker in some of the communist Russian plants. And, of course, they sent him to Italy to study Parmesan cheese. They sent him to England to study, you know, some of the Stilton blues, and to France to study the blue cheese. I mean, you know, he has this world of great cheese knowledge, and, of course, is here with us. And he invited me to come with him to Bulgaria to take a tour of the cheese factories. And my greatest day in Bulgaria was to cross a mountain trail and look down into this valley, into this thousand-year-old monastery, as I mentioned a minute ago, in the Rio Ya Mountains. And the monks of the Rio Ya Mountains had been making this particular style yogurt, as I mentioned, trachias, they call it, and they made it in these beautiful little crock jars that only held about 2 cups, and they had little lids on the top of them, and they would put those into the caves, and they would just sit this ice-cold water around them. And when I tasted it for the first time, it was the richest, dense, most dense yogurt I had ever tasted. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was natural, so there was no sweetener in it, no fruit or anything else. But even then, I knew that it was the best thing I'd ever put in my mouth. So I said, I told Demcho, I said, this is what we want to make in Louisiana, this right here. And that's where our yogurt came from. But touring the libraries, Michelle, if you'd have been there, you'd have just died.
Because you went to the library?
The library in the monastery, 1,000 years old. Oh. Many of the books were written in longhand that long ago. And they had maps of the world prior to the discovery of America.
I love that.
All original maps that you could just look at, and that the monks was, and you walked into this library and there were like 10 monks in their robes, and they were writing in these large books, and again, just preserving the modern history. And I thought to myself, I am in a place that, you know, you could not in your life wish to be and get here. You could only be here because of this trip with Demcho, you know. And it was a...
We had a special grace that day.
It was a very, very special, very special grace. And then to go into the cell of the monks and see their little rooms with their little fireplace and their one little pot that they all cooked their own meals. They went out and they hunted or they trapped so they could get a rabbit or whatever, and they could cook it in their little fireplace and share it with a monk next door. And they would do... I mean, it was a way of life that was, like I say, 1,000 years old and worked just like in perfect harmony with nature. It was perfect, you know. So anyway, y'all ready to talk a little bit about your dishes? Or you want to kind of...
Sure, we can do that. Yeah, we can start. You've got a lot of great recipes.
Yeah, we got a lot of great things to talk about, huh?
You want me to go first?
Well, I mean, I don't want you to just...
I'm ready.
Jump near full speed ahead. I mean, I want you to tell us a little bit about how you arrived at this particular... why did you choose this one? I know you said you went to our website, but...
Well, no. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Remember when I went to Greece?
Yeah.
Okay. And that has been a decade ago, if you can imagine that. Long time.
Yeah. Don't complain. At least you had a vacation. At least you had a vacation.
Anyway.
I mean, it's been 10 years. I hadn't been on one.
You were just telling us about Bulgaria.
Yeah, but that was work.
Well, mine was too. Look, I found this recipe for tzatziki while I was there. No, you know, that was my first trip to Europe, and, you know, I admit that I had my own anxieties going in or whatever, and this was a food, I guess it was my comfort food, was this cucumber yogurt dip, and it was on every pita. You could get it in a pita with nothing else, a rolled pita bread, and I ate that every day. And I've wanted the recipe for it since then. And Miss Peppy has made something that tastes very similar. Never asked her for the recipe. But anyway, so that was the search that I did to find a recipe. And I made it last night. And I have to say, nailed it, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 2 cloves of garlic minced very finely. If you like garlic, you can add more, but 2 cloves, I really think, was plenty. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of white pepper so that it, you know, has that nice clean look. Mm-hmm. 1 cup of Greek yogurt and 1 cup of sour cream. Plus, there were 2 cucumbers in it, peeled, all of the seeds removed, diced, you know, finely diced, and then 1 teaspoon of chopped dill. Now, all right, called for fresh dill. For whatever reason, the grocery store did not have fresh dill yesterday, so I admit that I went dry. I had to use the dry dill because I figured it was a very important flavor.
Absolutely.
for this particular cucumber yogurt dip. And it was fine. 1 teaspoon of the chopped fresh dill. Basically, you just mix it all together, let it sit for 2 hours, and then you eat it on pita bread, or you can just eat it right out of the container.
So now 2 hours is enough to build the flavor in it. Was it better overnight?
I think it was probably the same overnight. I tasted it as it went into the refrigerator, and it was good, but I was questioning if I had enough garlic, and that's why I mentioned, you know, the garlic. You can add more if you like more garlic or whatever, but I was tempted to add more garlic then, and I did not, because on that carrot recipe, that carrot spread a couple of weeks ago, I really added the garlic, and you could tell. It was good, but I didn't do that this time, and I thought that it was well flavored, and it tasted better after the 2 hours. Those flavors had kind of married, so to speak.
Right,
and,
right.
And I thought that the garlic was fine.
Well, mm-hmm. now Shirley, you've tasted this,
yes.
Right? And I'm going to get me a nice big spoon of it right now.
You are okay.
Yes. I'm going to get me a nice taste of it right now. It looks nice and creamy, delicious.
Yes,
I can
does.
See the dill all in it.
Yeah.
And of course, the dill's going to suck up all of that liquid. So I mean, even if it's dehydrated.
It's very good. It reminds me a lot as well of a very popular dish in Turkey. Neighbors, they share, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every morning you could have fresh yogurt, fresh sliced tomatoes, fresh cucumbers, all of these things, fresh fruit, all are part of what breakfast is in the Middle East. And
loved the breakfast in Turkey.
Yes, yes.
I really did.
And so this
honey.
Yogurt dish, that honey as well. And this is a dish really that is, it's not too intense that children will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids like interesting tastes, and it's a good texture too, so it's not something that they're going to want to spit out. It's that interesting dish that if you want to introduce a child to something a little bit different, this yogurt dish will really work, because it has a freshness to it but not too much of a strong taste that would make them stick up their little nose,
right, you know? And it's things that they're familiar with. I mean, mm-hmm. cucumbers, I
In
think
fact,
most kids probably like cucumbers. They're not over the top.
Well, I think it'd be great if you happen to be growing cucumbers at home and you're always getting your kids to help you make something, cook with them. They love to be able to cook after they help grow them. This would be a wonderful thing in the summer for kids to be able to have.
I've eaten 2 spoons of it already. It's delicious.
Thank you so very much.
Now, let me tell you, Demcho and Pepe
would be proud.
Loves this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they bring it every Sunday. They put a slice of ripe tomato on top of it, and sometimes they put a fried egg on it, just
I haven't had it with a fried egg, but I do think that Miss Pepe put some Kashkaval cheese with it one time.
Well, she'll put cheese, but she'll also put a ripe tomato that just drips that beautiful tomato into it with an egg on top of it. Y'all, when we come back, I have a recipe, Shirley has a recipe,
yep.
And then I'm going to judge whose recipe was the absolute best, and I'm already... I have to tell you, I'm already in there running right now. I'm already... Anyway, y'all, we're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Monday's not a fun day. Mom makes broccoli. Tuesday is a blues day. That means squash and peas.
So many great compilations of long-lost African music being re-released and remixed. Ever wonder who finds all this stuff? Well, I'm Josh Galilee. Join me to meet globe-trotting record-collecting DJs and hear their prize finds on Crate Diggers and Remixers. Next time on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Konnichiwa, this is Emily with Rock Japan inviting you to join me late night Fridays at 3 a.m. and Mondays at 11 p.m. here on KRVS 88.7 FM. We'll explore the new, old, and experimental music of the island nation of Japan and how they rock the world from dusk till the rising sun.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Up this morning, looked out the door. I can tell my milk cow, I can tell by the way she lows. If you see my milk cow, please drive her on home. Cause I ain't had no milk and butter since that cow been gone.
All right, everybody, welcome.
like to start it off the best tasting show on radio, and it's so nice to have you around the kitchen table with us today as we talk about the mysteries and the quality of good yogurt in all of our dishes. And, of course, Michelle has just given us a great recipe for this tzatziki-type dip here, which, I mean, just delicious.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's our mystery ingredient show, as you all know. We try to make sure that every month we kind of throw something out on the table to give our listeners a little fun on trying to figure out what to do with it, and today is no different. Now, a couple of things about yogurt. You see all type of different brands in the store coming from different countries, different types of packaging. Oh, my God, different prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all over the place. And I know you ask yourself, why? Why is this? You can get this for 50 cents at the same size cup over here, $1.50. Oh, my God, look at this, $3. What's it all about? Well, the Balkan style or set style yogurt, this is a warm, cultured milk mixture that's poured into containers. The yogurt is incubated inside of the container without any further stirring, and the Balkan style or the set style yogurt has characteristics of a nice thick texture, and it's excellent for enjoying plain or using in recipes. So when you see Balkan style or you see set style yogurts, that's a yogurt that's all made, thrown into the cup, allowed to just ferment there, chill, and then you eat it right out of the cup. The Swiss style or stirred yogurts, tell us about that, Shirley.
Well, that's a warm cultured milk mixture that's also incubated, but it's made in large vats, and it's cooled, then, not surprisingly, as a stirred yogurt would be, it's stirred and creates a really creamy texture. And often, as we see in the stores, it's mixed with fruit or other flavorings. Swiss style or stirred yogurt is often thinner than the Balkan that you just mentioned.
Absolutely.
Or the set yogurt. And it can be eaten as is. It's what's really great when you start mixing it in cold beverages and sometimes as desserts. It's the great stuff for the smoothies.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah. And you can finally use that as a great value on the shelf. I mean, you can find it in many. And of course, they all come on the different brand names as well. Now, Michelle, you in Greece, so why don't you tell us about the Greek-style yogurts? I mean, I know you're an expert.
Well, it's a very thick yogurt made from milk where the water has been removed from plain yogurt. It's thicker. It's creamier. It tends to hold up better when you put heat to it, so it's better to cook with. It's also referred to as Mediterranean or Mediterranean-style yogurt, and a lot of times it's used for dips, such as the tzatziki that I made today. A Balkan-style yogurt that has 6% milk fat or more makes an excellent substitute for Greek-style yogurt.
And most people do think of the Greek-style yogurt as the richest and the thickest of the yogurts if they have not had the Bulgarian yogurt. I should also mention that Bulgaria, which many people think is the home of the original yogurts, used Greece as the port of call to bring yogurts around the world since the Greeks were the shippers.
Right.
So a lot of people think of Greece as the origin of yogurt when actually Greece was the origin of distribution of yogurt. And when you eat the Bulgarian style yogurt, it is not drained. It is made with the mixture of cultures that make the yogurt extremely thick and rich. In other words, if you take the jar and turn it upside down and shake it, it won't come out of the jar. It's very rich. It's also delicious when mixed with fruit and other kinds of mixtures as well. So the Bulgarian style yogurt you'll see as well. Now, Michelle, you've done successfully your recipe.
Thank you so very much.
Everybody's very happy with it. I mean, David's telling me the computer board there is just lighting up with accolades on your yogurt recipe and wanting to know if you
I'm sure.
Now we're going to go to Shirley because, Shirley, what a beautiful, well, why don't you tell us what it is tell them what's beautiful.
Huh? Okay. I produced for the show today.
I like the way you say you produced.
I produced it. That's right. An amaretto pound cake.
Wow.
Yes. It's a recipe that I've had probably 30 years or more and have adjusted now and then with the ingredients here and there. And it's wonderful, as most pound cakes are, with fresh fruit or yogurts
on
the side or ice creams and things. It has a glaze, which I'll talk about. You can either make it with or without it, but either way, it's pretty wonderful. In the cake itself, I take a cup of butter, room temperature, because you're going to be creaming it with 2.5 cups of granulated sugar. My recipe calls for 6 eggs at room temperature. Ooh. 6 eggs is a lot.
Not a lot. Moderation and everything, Shirley.
Okay.
Moderation.
But for most cakes, don't necessarily have that many eggs in it. So trust it. It does say 6 eggs, and it really needs 6 eggs. I use Greek-style yogurt when I'm using a yogurt. You can also use sour cream if you happen to have that in the house and everything else, but not the yogurt. You can certainly use a sour cream, but I used a cup of sour cream, Greek style yogurt. Then 2 teaspoons of an almond extract, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of orange extract, and 1 teaspoon of a lemon extract. 1/4 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3 cups of flour, and 1/2 cup of amaretto. That for the cake itself. The oven is 325 degrees. So it's
lower temperature.
Yeah. Lower than you'd normally think, exactly. I happen to use a tube pan because it's just so much easier to cut. You can use a large bundt pan. That is fine, too. Grease and flour it. Even if the pan says that it is nonstick, please grease and flour it. In a large bowl, I want you to, you'll beat your butter and your eggs until your butter and sugar till creamy, which is why you really do want it room temperature. Add your eggs one at a time, beating well after each one. Add the yogurt, the almond, vanilla, orange, and lemon extracts, continually beating, adding your soda and salt. And then I tend to gradually beat in the flour, maybe a cup at a time, continuing to beat it. Add the amaretto. You come up with a very, almost like a very heavy cream batter. It's it's a fabulous batter. Pour it into your prepared pan. Bake at 325 degrees for about 1 hour and 30 minutes, but at about 1 hour and 20, you might start checking upon your own oven, you know. I use the big, long skewers to get down to the very center of the cake. When it comes out clean, like in every tester, you know, it's perfectly done. Cool on a wire rack for 10 minutes, remove from a pan, and then cool the rest of the way, upon which you can then place a glaze if you're so inclined. 10 ounces of orange marmalade, 2.5 ounces of apricot preserves, 1/4 cup of amaretto. You put it in a little pan, heat it down so it's more like a little bit, pour it over the top, and then I also added toasted sliced almonds on the top.
Delicious.
Which you can do or not do if you're well inclined.
Now, do you add the topping that just I added? Mm-hmm. Do you add that while the cake is hot? Or
the recipe doesn't say to. I've done it, and it gets absorbed quite a bit. This morning, the one I brought for us to have today in the studios, I didn't. I baked the cake last night and then made the glaze the next morning, you know, today, and put it on just because I... of course, you never know how it's going to turn out or not turn out, but I tend to like it not quite as absorbed. I like the glaze on the side, and it runs down the sides of the paper of the cake as well, so you can take it and put it on top of your cake if you want to. It is a firm pound cake, but it's not heavy. Mm-hmm. Has a real nice flavor to it. You know, it doesn't have the butter flavor of a regular pound cake because you have all these extracts. The amaretto is a light flavor there. There's not enough of it to bother anybody who has a problem with alcohol. Most of it takes care of itself. But so what do you think, Chef? I had the Greek-style yogurt, so I used it, plain yogurt, but I know you can use sour cream. I've done that, too, when I haven't had the yogurt in the house. And like we were talking earlier, you can mix those two, and either one really works well. And while the glaze here is orange marmalade and apricot, you could certainly adjust that, I suspect, if you wanted to have just the apricot flavor, or you wanted to, you know, you can play with that some. And while it is a pound cake, it's not a heavy cake, and so
I'll tell you what I love about it. It is, in fact, a great pound cake, because originally, as you know, the pound cake comes from the fact that there was 1 pound of eggs, a pound of flour, 1 pound of butter, and that's where the cake gets its name. And because of that, it had a really wonderful, dense, but yet very smooth texture to it. This cake is absolutely identical to that pound cake expectation. Mm-hmm. I mean, just beautiful. I think the acidic note of the yogurt gives it a really nice, unexpected flavor. Mm-hmm. The amaretto kind of fits perfectly in a cake like this. People just love that flavor of amaretto into it. But I think the most interesting and I think unique feature of this particular cake is the overall texture of the cake itself.
Thank you.
It's just perfectly, perfectly smooth and creamy in flavor, but yet it's chewable, so you can bite into it. It's not dry. It's very moist, but yet at the same time has that chewable texture, which most pound cakes today just kind of crumble in your mouth, and you just want to get a glass of milk real fast. Here, with this cake, you want a second slice real fast because the moisture is certainly there. So that's congratulations. Really great.
Thank
and
you.
I can see the addition of, and I want y'all to think about this as you make the cake. What about this time time of year putting, in the place of just the yogurt, put strawberry yogurt inside of it and strawberry wine in place of the amaretto.
Sure.
In peach season, peach-flavored yogurt.
With a little bit of peach schnapps or something.
A little
something.
Peach schnapps into it. Think about the variations. That's the way a cook's mind immediately looks toward it. And I think this is interesting, too. People always ask, how do you create recipes? I think a cook's mind immediately will taste something like this cake and then go back to your own cultural roots or your own ingredient pantry, as we our lifelong pantry. And I'll think of things that we used to make that resonate in a cake like this. And that's what I would think about. I would think about something like peaches in season and being able to put it into this cake and then slice peaches that's been just kind of cooked with a little sugar and put on top of a spoon of it. It's a beautiful cake for that. The texture lends itself to a lot of different toppings. Nice big dollop of whipped cream. It's a beautiful, beautiful cake. I love it.
Thank you.
So both of you are extremely successful. I'll give you a 10 each.
Thank you.
That is really good.
Out of 25, that's not bad. That's not bad. Out of 25, that's pretty doggone.
Well, we're about you realize, of course, we're about to hear the recipe that does get a 26 out of a 25 scale.
Bring it on.
No, y'all did a beautiful job. Really beautiful job on it. All right. This is a soup that is not, I wouldn't say is on in the top of my repertoire of soups, because it is a bit different, but yet lends itself beautifully to the heat of the Louisiana June, July, August suns. And when you think about something far out, and I want people to think of these ladies' luncheons or card groups or people who get together for committee meetings or whatever, and you want to, this is a portable soup. This is a soup that travels well, and you can bring it, because you can put it in a thermos and bring it and then pour it all out in little soup cups. It's a very portable.
Put in those saddlebags.
Put in those saddlebags. Get your little yogurt. Well, this is a cold yogurt and crab soup. We're going to serve six with this recipe, and it's again making use of a great Louisiana ingredient and indigenous style. Beautiful. You like that? You like that saddlebag?
No, I'm thinking six servings or two Louisianians.
Yeah, it depends how much crab you put in it.
Exactly.
If you're using claw crab meat, it's for six servings. If you use it lump, it's two people going to eat it. So what we have here is we're going to begin by adding by having two medium cucumbers that's going to be peeled and seeded, and we're going to chop them real, real fine. That's going to be about 3 cups of cucumbers is what you're going to have. Two medium yellow bell peppers that's minced. You want this really nice and finely chopped. You're going to have 2 cups of 1-inch cubes of honeydew melon. So you're starting to get some, yogurt, cucumbers, melon, all of those things kind of feeling good together right there. You with me? You're going to have 1.5 tablespoons of finely chopped shallot. So that's going to be about 1 large shallot, going to be put into there. You're going to have 1/2 cup of a good plain yogurt. And I would definitely recommend one of the thicker Greek or Bulgarian style yogurts. 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon or lime juice is going to go into it as well. And that's that acidic note you're always looking for when you're doing yogurts and all of that. Acid just goes really well with lemon and lime. Salt and pepper to taste.
Now, you don't put any heat to that?
No, you're not going to put any heat to this. It's a cold soup.
No, I mean like a little spice.
Oh, no. Oh, excuse me.
I'm just
asking. You want to jump into my recipe?
No,
did I stop you in the middle of your recipe a while ago?
It was just a question.
Feeling a little cocky over there since you came out with a 10 in your recipe that you can challenge me with my seasoning. I see. Before I get there. So for the crab mixture.
Proceed.
For the crab mixture, 1/2 pound of that beautiful Pontchartrain jumbo lump. I'll tell you what, change the recipe to a pound. a pound of beautiful Pontchartrain. You're going to have 1 tablespoon or even a little extra of magnificent extra virgin olive oil. You're going to have 1 tablespoon or 2 of white wine vinegar or to taste. Some people don't like the acidity of vinegar, so you're going to have it. 3 tablespoons of finely chopped chives. You with me? And then you're going to have, of course, your salt, your pepper, cayenne pepper, granulated garlic, even some finely chopped jalapeno would be good in this for your heat. You know what I mean? Now, Michelle, this is what makes this soup interesting. You don't grab a pot and go to the stove. What you're going to do is to take, I would take my crab, and I would take my extra virgin olive oil, my vinegar, my chives, my salt and pepper, and I'd make that little crab salad. I'd mix all of that together, and I'd put it in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Just kind of get it off so that it can marinate and pick up all of those beautiful flavors. Think about a little tarragon maybe chopped into this, because tarragon's beautiful with this flavor as well. You could put your own little taste of herbs in there. Now, into your Cuisinart or into your blender, whichever one you may choose, depending on the power of your blender, that'd be okay. And into the bowl of that blender, you're going to put those chopped 3 cups of cucumbers, that yellow bell pepper that we talked about, that honeydew melon, and you're going to chop all of that into a very fine, wonderful, cold puree of soup. And, of course, as you add the yogurt to it, it's going to definitely go ahead and make that wonderful soup at that point. It's going to soup it all up. You're going to chill that. You can make that a day ahead of time if you like. And then as you get ready to serve it, you put it in the bowls and you put that tablespoon of crab mixture on top of it. I think you have the idea. 25 out of 25 on that recipe right there. And y'all, go to our website, jfalls.com. It's all right there. Go to Stirring It Up. All of the recipes are listed. Thank y'all so much. And eat your yogurt. It's Dairy Mom.
Musical traditions in far-flung lands are connected by invisible instrumental links and by song streams flowing across oceans. Join me to discover the connections and follow the flow on The Thistle and Shamrock.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
This is Bill Bowens from The Dirty Rice Show, inviting you to join either Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, or myself every Saturday night from 8:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. for Dirty Rice right here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, public radio for Acadiana.